Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our regular Thursday stream. There is no Trick this week. I think he's taking a little bit of a reduced role on the internet. He's doing normal life stuff, which is what I would advise a lot of people to do more of, because it
Yeah.
has been nice outside.
Weather's been a bit crap here, to be honest, but the doing things outside and not being as present on the internet is a very good thing. I was talking to Prudentialist about this earlier on, that ultimately we're all just swimming in a sea of shit, and none of us have bothered to sort of climb out yet. We just refuse to for some reason or another. It's a great mystery of our time.
It is. But yeah, people really are stuck in the weird shit sea. But that's
Well,
by the by.
because he went on to say the fact, and it's the same shit, and I was like, well, that's the nature of shit. It doesn't get any fresher.
Hey, it also rolls downhill, I'm told.
Yeah.
But we'll get the normal stuff out of the way. I know you'll be doing the final one tomorrow, but Evelyn still has a fundraiser running, which is getting there really, to get her to the
Tell you
Mises.
what, let me quickly get
Mises.
that up,
I've already
actually.
linked it in the chat.
Oh no, I was going to put the thing on the screen quickly.
Okay. So you can help by supporting her and getting her to the Mises Institute,
Yes.
where she can. It's basically her Disneyland.
Yeah, this is Disneyland for econ
That's what I said when I was on Proper Horror Show stream briefly the other night.
nerds.
I was
Oh.
like, "Is that Disneyland? Please send her there. There'll be
Yims.
it's a small world, but like a Mises ride." Boys rise up. We
Yes.
also have our normal donations available. All donations this month will be going to Evelyn, and to get her across, smuggle her across the border. So, basically, all the month's
I've got to
Streamlabs
ask,
donations.
was that you, Mr. Smith, in the chat? That was S. Smith that donated. I thought it might be. If it is, I know I'm not on Twitter, but I thank you, along with all the other people who have donated, because it's made something that was going to be quite a pain in the arse a lot more possible. And
Yes,
I am very
slightly less
thankful for
painful
that.
in the arse. So all the YouTube revenue and the stream donation revenue will be going to Evelyn. We also ask to monetize, so you can become a member or send super chats if you so desire. The best way to send money though is to do it either directly via the GoFundMe or to do it via Streamlabs, which only takes a very minor cut and then it goes through PayPal. Otherwise, we don't really have anything else to show. I'm still trying to get stuff out on the Substack. I have my speech still not published from the Nomos event, because I want to get it properly copy edited, and that's taking a little bit of time because my normal copy editor. Good news for him, he's got a very good job, but he's very busy. So that's what's taking that really. I'm still trying to write stuff in the background. I know you are, Evelyn too. That's our no.
I've not really got much going on at the moment. I think my brain's kind of really just taken over. We're trying to sort all this
Yeah,
stuff
you've
for
got a
going
lot
to
of
the
the uh.
States. I'm hoping over the weekend slash next week I'm gonna crack into at least having all the material I need to do my shielding speech. And then once I've got all the material for that in the one place, or write my speech for pitching, I should say. Yeah, once I've got all that in one place, I can chip away at that bits and pieces, and then go back to working on doing more streams, because I have to admit, I don't have an idea of what to do for a Monday's stream, but hopefully that gives me time to come up with a good idea for what to do for the Monday after.
Yes, hopefully that will. I know I sometimes get stuck for ideas for these streams, but this is kind of like a double bill to segue into the actual theme of the stream with our online right victim narrative stuff, which was more controversial than I thought it was going to be, honestly. I don't
Yeah.
think a lot of people quite understood what we were trying to talk about. But I think most people did. A lot of people just had a very knee-jerk reaction to essentially being told to clean their Roomba co, which is kind of funny because it very much exemplifies the things we're talking about. They decided that we had victimized them and their precious online right identities.
Yeah,
So
we called
so
them
that was funny to.
victims, and then they responded like victims.
A lot of people liked us talking about the why would you let a Negro live in the inside of your head thing, though.
Yeah.
It's a that's a very good one. But no, today we're going to talk really about the various forms of containment we've seen, both recently and a bit in the past, and how this has functioned in many different ways in many different places. When you get like the political consensus or the power broker, or when you get into quote unquote mainstream electoral politics, or even dissident, supposedly distant politics, you end up with the major interests creating essentially what are like dissident abscesses of containment that can be drained with either the removal of a personality or with kind of the fizzling out of a nominal label.
I think it's also to do with you've got to think about how people are kind of go to such great lengths to define themselves negatively against woke culture or the sort of what we've referred to a number of times as sort of surface leftism, and the face that you're given in public, all the propaganda and the stuff in your HR unit or your university or whatever. And people seek the thing that is the opposite of that, and in doing so, they kind of become just defined by that search for not being woke. And that I don't think, there is obviously situations where you are not allowed to react to stuff in certain ways, and especially if you're going to engage in real action, you're not allowed to think constructively about opposing wokeism and how you would take it down institutionally. That's a no-go. But if you want to spend all day ranting on Telegram about it, or on Twitter, or in a stream, or whatever else, then, knock yourself out. And the more people you can pull in to rant about it almost create like a sort of, a bit like it's almost like its own kind of mass psychosis kind of thing. A 2 minute hate for our side. And it just
Yes.
seems that energy isn't then, I can understand why we would need to harness that kind of energy at times, because it's useful. It's useful to get people to hate things. It's one of the great things in politics. But if people are just stewing, and they're stewing in the sea of shit of all places,
Yes.
nothing good comes of that. And I think
Well,
that
we're
as you're about to get on to, containment is the areas where we are allowed to go, because when we go there, nothing gets done.
Yes. Here's a curious flurry of articles. We talked actually a lot about this previously, but it's something that fascinates me and has been
Which one do you
occupying
want
the back of my mind.
first?
Well, there's two of them there. There's one from the Atlantic from during the Obama administration, and there's one from 2017, I think, about that is completely fictitious because implying Trump is some kind of Randian is hilarious. But it's the from the 90s onwards, really from the codifying of Randianism as an ideology by God, the name's gone out my brain. The Jewish guy, what's his name? Who really made objectivism go from a fictional framework to an ideology.
Are you talking about like Yaron Brook and all these kind of people?
People like Yaron Brook and all that. Oh
Well,
God,
see, I
actually.
don't think Randianism ever really became a thing proper. I mean, I suppose Michael Malice calls himself an objectivist, and you've got like Lex Fridman and these other people, but I'm not really sure. I'm trying to think who. There might be some names that you're getting into. I'm trying to think myself now.
Well, the thing is, no, it wasn't. There's not a huge amount of people who are out and out balls to the wall Randians.
No.
But what happens is you end up with a lot of Republican senators, you end up with Silicon Valley of all people, just dropping these little nuggets in there that both the left and the right pick up on. What we're going to read here is from a leftward perspective, but there's also stuff from a in period from the rightward perspective as well. I don't want to go, I don't turn this into a dissection of Randianism stream. Yeah, it was right, Yaron Brooks. But once that was kind of codified into an ideology, a very incomplete one, I've had this discussion with a few people, but once it was codified into an ideology, you see it being picked up as like the cool behind the curtain edginess
Yeah, I can already see it
of.
straight away. What Rand and her followers believe.
Yeah.
Who's they're taking this? Jonathan Chait, God knows who that is. The New Republic's two new biographies of Rand, using the opportunity to explore her days and condemn her influence. His essay, 7,000 words, is drawing wide discussion among supporters and opponents of it.
He's someone who writes for the New Republic, so he's probably just some leftist nowhere writer.
Chait described Rand's philosophy as a generalized anti-communist and crudely Nietzschean worldview that became a moral defense of the individual will and unrestrained capitalism akin to an inverted Marxism. Nah, it's nowhere near that cool. Don't you dare.
Is this the guy, or is this the quote?
He summarized one's value to society could be measured by his income. History largely consisted of looters and moochers stealing from society's productive elements. Chait mocks this as implying that Donald Trump contributes more to society than 1,000 teachers, nurses, or police officers. Of course, they've got the Trump name dropped back in like 2009.
Is this the 2009 one?
Yeah.
Oh, well, sorry, the mention of Donald Trump threw me off there. That's bizarre. Oh no, he's looking into the camera again.
yeah.
Sometimes they do be doing this, though. Hmm.
Understanding conservatives through Rand. Oh god, one blogger called the article essential if one wants to understand the America of Beck Limbaugh. Fucking Glenn
That's
Beck and
thing.
Rudge the Limbaugh, is, who have never well, touched a Rand book in their fucking life.
No, but they have mentioned her on air. They have shilled the surface level ideas on air. They were seen nominally throughout the Obama administration. In dark corners as these dangerous Randians, these dangerous objectivists, when really they never were.
No.
They obviously never were.
Someone like Rush Limbaugh, I mean, I'm no expert on a man's views, but as far as I'm aware, he is at least some kind of devout Christian of one form or another, as far as I'm aware. And was, you know, especially parted back in, you know, 2009, he'd been the last vestige of the sort of religious aspect of the right on like Fox News and stuff like that. I doubt he was agreeing with objectivist atheist Ayn Rand.
Well, you also have, someone says, is this like Cato Institutism 2.0? Well, exactly the same year, 2009, I posted it again in the chat. We'll go over it maybe in a little bit, but we have the founder of the Cato Institute in 2009 wrote an article simply just called Ayn Rand Was Right. Have this direct, this is fully full-throated Cato Institutism. It's also, as you go into, it's very reasonable. They talk about the reason here.
Matthew Iglesias, he's still around as a writer, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Ugh.
He's the one from Vox who got a bit excommunicated for saying the quiet parts too loud.
The moderate reading of Rand.
Well, it's going to talk about, you know, reason and, you know, the Gillespie and all this stuff.
Oh, God, yeah. Reason's Brian Doherty defended Rand. Who cares? No, but I think the point we're trying to make is that I think that there are people who probably were Randians that were involved. And, you know, someone's mentioned the Cato Institute. I think there probably were some radical people that did follow Rand at the time that would have been very middling fingers in the conservative circles.
Yes.
And this sort of framing was basically a way to keep those folk out, whilst at the same time, you know, we could then an Alan Greenspan because, you know, they believed in unlimited capitalism because they read The Fountainhead once.
Yes.
And that's what caused 2008, you know.
Well, it's also this fake dialectic. You see it, there's an article I don't want to get into here because it's a whole can of worms about Trump Jr. and him saying his favorite thinker was Jesus. And the fact that the wings of the Republican Party, even then, even back in 2000, had this, you know, fake Randian sheen to them. And the battle for the soul of the Republican Party was seen as this battle between, like, objectivist, cool Randians and, you know, slightly quaint but politically palatable, you know, energize the base Christian conservatives. And those people during the Obama administration obviously kept the lid on things, but there was supposedly this tantalizing wing of forbidden fruit conservatives. But the most extreme they had was some slight breadcrumbs of Rand, who in of herself is useless because she has no metaphysics. She has nothing beyond the
meanwhile, at the same time, you have I mean, 2009 would have just been after
Obama's election, yes.
also one of Ron Paul's more successful runs, or
Yes.
most well publicized anyway, because this is the one where, is it not like the 2006 like GOP conference before the 2008 election where he's asking bloody Rudy Giuliani about what happened on 9/11?
Yes. Yes, it was. The funny thing is, if you look at contemporary stuff, instead of like any kind of libertarian thinker, Rand is most mentioned when it comes to Ron Paul in period, in this period
Even
especially.
though Ron Paul really had little to do with Rand in any way, shape, or form again.
Yes, but that, just like we are starting to see with Yavin now, I'm not sure where that'll go or if it'll go as far as I think it might, but Rand was seen as the intellectual, there's even some stuff here talking about how begrudgingly respectable Ayn Rand was. And how the image, even on the left, of Ayn Rand is of this misguided intellectual who has these intriguing ideas that are wrong, rather than someone who is out and out evil. You don't have the, like, Rand is literally Hitler element in most of the coverage from this period. It's very kind of like almost steel manning her in a way, when Rand was actually a fucking retard. If you read Rand from the right, you'll be much harder on her than people are from the left. It's really funny. Rand decided to pap out anyone who asked her any difficult questions like Rothbard. Because she honestly is just a scattershot fiction author who couldn't cobble together a cohesive ideological framework if her government benefits depended on it. And all you end up with is being subsumed by neocons because you are nothing, you represent nothing, and you have no absolute principles because all you have is bootstraps
Yeah,
neoliberalism
someone's
with
like,
an edgy sheen.
she can't be H man, she's a small hat. I don't tell him about David Irving. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
Or
the
Paul
entire
Gottfried.
thing. Oh God, yeah.
Well, this is, see, one thing I was going to mention actually, because I don't know if you want to go on to this other one other than the Atlantic article that's going to, is it some sort of lead in trying to tie Trump to Randianism?
Yes, there is. It's what I'm going to do is with this. I want to be quite quick with it because we've already been on for like
Well,
20 minutes.
what I was going to
But
say was there was the attempt to blame San Francis and Leviathan as enemies for the rise of Trump as well. You know, there
really?
was. Well, yeah, there was a number of articles at the time. I would have to go and grab. I think AA mentioned them in his book that I read the other day. Yeah, no, I think that
Plug, good book.
there was it was a good book. The Populist Delusion. If people don't already know
Yes.
of it's sold by my favorite carpet merchant, Nina. Sorry, not Hanley's
You wouldn't think twice if your Uber driver was called that.
Yeah,
Or your like Deliveroo driver.
hey
You
bro,
just
your
expect
Uber's here, and it's George Sanders
it.
hanging out a Prius. But no, they tried to credit San Francis and Leviathan, its enemy, with the rise of Trump,
That's bizarre because at the time.
which is in a lot of ways is kind of true because, you know, in the way that he looks at the high, low, middle kind of model and the post-bourgeois proletariat and all these different things that he's talking about. He is, in a certain sense, discussing what kind of happened. Just it didn't
He
go
is, but
anywhere.
he's more describing it rather than you would say that. I don't.
He
It's
didn't
bizarre because.
instigate it, but that
No.
the Trumpian sort of era followed a lot of the model that he put forward in Leviathan and its enemies anyway.
It did, yes, but more because he accurately described
Oh
reality
God, who
than
is this?
through any kind of influence. But is this the Guardian arc or is this the?
This is Quartz
Oh dear.
by Thu Huang Ha. This is one of
Oh
your
no,
other
not the.
rant. This is one of US Republican leaders love Ayn Rand's controversial philosophy and are increasingly misinterpreting it, bruv.
I mean, they're probably right about the last part, to be honest.
Wait,
in a
I
weird
wonder if
roundabout
bits of this
way.
are taken out of that other article.
Maybe.
Just the way they mention the Tea Party and Reaganites and stuff like that. So,
Well, there's this tapestry. There's this tapestry that was built up in American politics of that you had, you know, the Reagan insurgence that was, the rightward lurch of American politics after the 70s. And you have the Tea Party emerging, these extreme right-wing people. And what's happening is you're having these movements that are essentially leftward movements codified as these... as the, you know, these based ball pits, these little movements that people are allowed to have, and these little moments that people are drained into and then dispersed because they were never going to go anywhere anyway. The Tea Party is a good example of that because really, again, it was something that didn't exist outside of the media coverage of it. There was some slight insurgency of non-picked candidates in the Republican Party that didn't do anything. Yet it was picked up as this contiguous movement, essentially a reactionist movement that wasn't there at the time. They pretty much had to invent one because politics had become so uniform.
Not to interrupt, is a Krylon in chat. Is Leviathan a readable book? See a lot of bad reviews editing-wise. I'm not sure, maybe there's a version of it out there that's not polished off, but if you get the Summit Publishing one...
Get the proper hardback Summit Publishing one off Amazon. Don't read the one that's on archive.org. Basically.
That is a superb book. It is one of the books of our age, and it will become so once more and more people realise how important it is. That's a story for a different day.
It is. Leviathan and Its Enemies is a fantastic book, though, and I would greatly advise its reading. If you have to have some patience with it. It's a little bit human action in that it's very exhaustive in certain descriptions. And there is a bit of rough editing there because it's edited posthumously. But the version we've got, the Summit Publishing version, with Gottfried's introduction and all that,
it's
is excellent.
It's the afterword, I think, is Gottfried. It's someone else that does the introduction.
The afterword, it's excellent, and I would recommend it. I'd recommend reading Beautiful Losers first if you can find it. That's a good introduction. That's much more entertaining in terms of readability because that is a collection of essays.
I think the only really intro you'd need before Leviathan and Its Enemies might be Machiavellians. Be honest, both Populist Delusion as well, because it's basically an updated version of the Machiavellians. But we will stop shelling AE's book because I want to put forward a theory to you. Is the mentioning of a Rand just American conservatives getting out on like feminist shit and being like, yeah, I'm inspired by female authors. I like
that's
Rand.
That's honestly part of it too. It's like a lot of the Thatcher chest beating.
Yeah.
Fills that niche as well. A lot of the Thatcher women can do it too stuff is an absolute like subsummation.
Yeah, Janet Yellen. Woo!
basically, yes. It's like a subsummation of the girl power 1970s like political lesbianism shit. It's bizarre that gets co-opted in. And it's bizarre that people partake in it because it's so obvious that you probably shouldn't be doing that. That's not using your enemy's narrative against them. That's just like bashing yourself in the head until you become
articles
as fair size.
Is there any specific bits in here you're after?
Not really. I wanted to go into the fact that
How does Rand fit with today's Randians like Donald Trump and Andy Budzer?
There's so many contortions done here to try and keep her as one of the bastion thinkers of the American right.
Rand was adamantly pro-choice. After a certain point, Rand's atheism becomes a liability. There's often a move to take Randian ideas and say they come from somewhere else or to combine them with religious ideas. So until this past year, that's been the conservative move around Rand, the way she's been sort of co-opted, tamed and managed. Huh? No one did that. You just said people did that.
Well, again, Rand is the only thinker that conservatism is allowed to have in many ways. In some circles, there's like Rand and like who else is there in like the popular consciousness that is a quote unquote conservative intellectual?
I suppose they can have thinkers like because they've been mentioned like Aquinas. I mean, you can still have some of the liberal thinkers. I think, but I suppose there's no Yeah, there's no contemporary, right-wing thinkers that have any sort of mainstream clout. Someone like Paul Gottfried. I saw, yeah, someone saying, "Lol, we can have Dinesh D'Souza." Yeah, that's about it, really. You can have Dinesh
Maybe.
D'Souza and fucking Ezra Klein from and all that kind of shit. That is your height of conservative thought. I mean, I suppose there's Yarvin, but as we discussed before, he seems to be sort of coming across the precipice of they will mainstream him, but if he plays the role they want him to.
Yes. That's what I'm suspecting anyway. But no, Rand, until the emergence of, these online, I guess, micro celebrity thinkers, all the conservative movement really had to fall back on in a media sense, or all the left really had to pin to them intellectually was Ayn Rand. There really isn't anyone else out there. Not that I can think of anyway. That's why she's so ubiquitous in all these articles, right through the Obama administration, right into Trump. This is a decade of people talking about Rand being, the conservative movement's favorite thinker, when she isn't, because there is no underpinning canon to the American conservative movement. Because it, like the British conservative movement, is purely a movement of managerial power.
Especially in its especially in the later era. I mean, I think you would have
Yes.
had, there was definitely figures like Chesterton and these kind of people, or someone like maybe even C.S. Lewis to some extent. A lot more your kind of Christian conservative writers, but they've all kind of fallen out of fad now, I would say.
Yes.
Everyone's into their based paganism these days, so you're not allowed to read Chesterton because he was a Christian soy cuck.
I don't want to make it too much about this stuff. I want to move on pretty quickly, honestly, but I just wanted to give this as background, because this is one of the good examples that has existed for pretty much a decade, that the ideological containment, the backstop for the American right in terms of acceptable thinkers, is Ayn Rand, because becoming an objectivist doesn't do anything to threaten the regime. That's really the long and short of it. Where do you think we should go from here then? Because we have a few other examples to tackle.
I think I would maybe we'll switch it back quickly to the thumbnail so we can work our way towards it. Because I think that this notion of the based ball pit, I think maybe it would be slightly clumsy language, but the best way to explain it would be like the anti-woke ball pit.
It
And
is
that
now.
there
That's
is a
what.
spectrum of people who from one end are, center left liberal to, at the far end possibly is someone like Fuentes or
Yeah.
any number of, interchangeable based commentators. Now, I don't know, you can get into different debates about do these people engage in action, do they not? For the most part, none of them seem to be doing anything effective that I can tell of. So I'm going to
No.
assume that that's not the case for anyone wants to ask or bring that up as a point. And what, if you aren't part of, and this is why I would try and segment away some of the dissident right sphere, because at least there where admittedly, there is minimum real world action because it's still formulating and it's still coming through its foundations. But what there is a canon of literature and a dense understanding of ideas that we want to put forward. We have our opposition to wokeism, we have our opposition also to many other things. And I think that the opposition to all the other things is getting lost in a lot of the signal nowadays of just being anti-woke.
It's not simple. It's single issues in general is what happened. One of the best examples of practical political containment is the career of Nigel Farage.
Not necessarily always by his hand, but I suppose, yeah.
No, but not always by his hand. No, I'm not saying he's container in chief, but the way that it was utilized, the way that UKIP was utilized, the way the Brexit Party was utilized, the way it leveled down as each iteration, blew up and reformed and blew up and reformed until it's essentially scattered back into dust and given the Conservative Party free rein when it comes to the
Oh,
quote-unquote
yeah.
mainstream
What
right in
else do you
Britain.
expect, though? Maybe their threat against the Conservative Party was legitimate when, what was it, the 2014 election where UKIP pulled about a good 6 or 7 million votes out of the blue?
Yes.
Literally out of the blue mind.
Yes. They
And
became the third party of British politics in many areas.
Probably because of that, were I mean, there is probably so much we still don't know about that. I mean, I would be willing to suggest that maybe members of the Conservative Party played a hand in deliberately collapsing Farage's organisation underneath him. Because every time he was on the news or he was talking about anything, it always seemed like there wasn't a plan. He wasn't able to be a statesman in any kind of way, in a way that maybe he could have been, because there was probably always forces working against him. Because if he wanted to, get to the point of having that almost like popular front for reactionary sentiments in a lot of ways, which I think he probably understood he was partially tapping into, that can't happen, so it has to be contained. And then I think the other part of the containment is that once you are contained, you can be appeased.
Yes, it's the appeasement factor. The worst thing that ever happened to British distant politics was winning the Brexit vote. It completely detonated any other debate. It allowed them to be corralled into this endless twilight of essentially stop the steal. We had years of British politics where the main political energy from the supposedly distant right was to stop the Conservative Party from reversing the our precious Brexit under Theresa May. And nobody stopped to think whether or not the entire process itself was a giant sham and that nothing afterwards has changed. I know a lot of people had like doom and gloom predictions, all these stupid headlines about it, but like what functionally has improved? What are we, 7 years out from the vote now? 7 years of British politics has been defined right up until the moment that a Chinaman coughed, has been defined by Le Brexit, and it hasn't got us anything.
Well,
It
I
has got us
think
nowhere.
if we're, allow me to don my tinfoil hat, wrap it on just a little bit tighter. Knowing what we know now, we can understand that the people at the time who let us have Brexit are the same people who are administrating the COVID lockdowns over us. Is it
Yes.
did they just happen to come up with the idea of lockdowns between Brexit and now? I don't think so. Because we know of the Rockefeller lockstep stuff that's been around since 2010. We know that there's been, some form of biohazard element of, or biohazard and dangerous disease element of global planning since at least 9/11, if not prior to, with all sorts of different anthrax scares and stuff like that. So, we now understand that functionally, whether we voted for Brexit or not, not even whether or not, irrespective of whether or not Brexit was going to happen in that time period, the vote for it itself was also useless, because the result we got, whether it was enacted or not, wasn't going to make a difference.
No, it's a vote, trying to vote yourself out of prison. It's trying to vote yourself out of the boxcar. We took a vote. You're gonna have to open the boxcar door now. The vote passed unanimously. Please open the door. It's very, very big pleading with your master's energy, but
And the thing is, what
it
also comes of
succeeded
that,
in.
though? Oh, but
Oh,
shall you go
hello.
or shall I?
No, I think you broke up a little bit for me there.
Well, no, what I was
You
going to
go.
say was, what ends up happening when you do beg and you do plead is that someone answers your call. And what you get is this Roe v. Wade nonsense in America, where the situation hasn't changed. But now, because it's in discussion, we're now getting articles like this, how a digital abortion footprint could lead to criminal charges and what Congress can do about it. which is an article that simultaneously describes how you would engage in digitally masking yourself.
Very loud.
Sorry. Digitally masking yourself so you could go and get an abortion. And also telling you all the ways that the government tracks you that could work out both the fact that you're pregnant and that, two, you might be trying to give yourself an abortion. You know, it's like, irrespective of whether or not you morally stand on one side or other when it comes to abortion, which I think we all stand on one side anyway, it's not for question, but whether or not you do, you also probably aren't for a world in which the government's prerogative is to know whether or not women are pregnant and to track all the necessary parameters required to work out whether or not they're going for an abortion.
Sorry, I just got a quick question in chat there. The original ball pit image is from DashCon, which was the Trump convention. Just so unknown.
Sorry, it's clearing my throat. Yeah.
That's where that's from. What was I saying? Yeah, it was from DashCon, yes, which was a Tumblr convention. But by the by, yes, what this is doing is this article functions both as a way to try and like energize the base and be like, look, guys, we're being edgy. Here's how you cover up having an illegal abortion. But what it functions more as, and what you pointed out, you're right about, is this is really is like a wink and a nod to the Republican lawmakers saying, look, the solution to your problem of people illegally crossing into other states to have abortions, whatever, is digital ID. Don't you want to put some digital IDs forward to capitalize on this big... Oh, I can't stand the Roe v. Wade dialectic. It's giving me a headache. But... all these people talking about this big conservative victory because they saw a leaked draft of a legal opinion that's still, you know, cooking. You know, what happens when it's not, or if it's not reversed? Like, what happens then?
Yeah.
What happens if they decide to change their mind on this, which they are very much, you know, entitled
just
to
this,
do?
This language, how a digital abortion footprint, I mean, that is a phrase that has been think tanked up.
That's
prior
workshopped.
To, yes, that's been workshopped prior to now. Prior probably to this. Maybe it was think tanked when this thing got leaked back in February, but we weren't told about it for some reason.
Yes. Bizarre. Again, that whole thing's bizarre. But my theory from the other side of it is that what this is appealing to on both ends in terms of digital ID, is that the leftists are going to go to the people and go, look, we're going to protect your digital abortion footprint by blockchaining and encrypting your information in your digital ID that the Republicans won't be allowed to see, and we'll fight the Republicans with the data. And
well, yeah, the Democrats are now the party of privacy, don't you know? You know, we're back to the Patriot Act in 2001 and American bloody Democrats pretending that they give a shit about fucking privacy.
And you'll end up with like the nodding heads, the regime libertarians and the mug clubs of this world nodding along and going, oh yeah, well they have a point there, we should respect people's search history if they're searching for illegal abortions, guys. We can't become the monsters we fight. Blah blah blah.
The government knows that you're however many pregnant women are living and breathing and walking at all one moment, but they can't tell whether or not they've searched up for abortion medicine because the government said so. I mean, there is the other preamble here, which again is to, you know, maybe there's going to be some new, you know, the Digital Privacy Act 2023 or 2024 or some pish like that. And it will now be, you know, Republicans and Democrats will both agree that the average person needs to be fucked more and privacy will just be completely written out of law, but it will be done so by a law that says it's keeping your privacy, as is always done. is how they do it every single time.
It will probably quite literally be called the Digital Privacy Act.
Yeah. I mean, let's not forget as well that we are knocking on the door of the midterms and people aren't talking about lockdown. They aren't or they're at least trying not to talk about inflation, or they're trying to explain it away if they can. But instead we're debating about grooming, schools that may or may not actually be happening. We're talking about Roe v. Wade that may or may not actually be getting revoked, and that goes for both sides of the fucking aisle. I mean, this is
God.
they have what we have to remember is that whether we like to hear it or not, the first people they really went out and contained were leftists, and they went out and contained leftism by mainstreaming a lot of pre-existing, whether you want to call it cultural Marxism, the Frankfurt School, postmodernism, or intersectionalism, which I think is an all right name for it.
Yeah.
They mainstreamed that stuff onto the left because it defanged the left and took away their rather solid, whether you agree with it or not, class war-based politics.
Yes.
Corbyn style, old school Marxist politics, which, it works. It's a good political formula. And
As I keep trying to ex
they were
explain to
nerfed,
people,
essentially.
yeah, the left is very good at identifying specific sections of the problem extremely accurately, but their job in the dialectic is to offer terrible solutions to them. Their job in the dialectic is to say that these people are wielding massive power with the levers of state. Therefore, we need to give more power to the levers of state. That is the core of the leftist argument and the argument from the left when it comes to post-war politics, and always has been. And you're right, a lot of people do not understand that fundamentally these useless rainbow blob people are inflicted upon the left to make it into a circus, and that this isn't genuine. This isn't what, the traditional left was. This isn't the left of the, a muscular union movement. This isn't the left of, the Marxist Leninists. This is a essentially they are fire hosing a lot of the theory of denazification onto the left. It's like de-Leninication. It's a hard one to say. De-Leninification. When it comes to like leftist theory, in that any kind of like hard hitting hard leftism is bred out of it. And I think a few people understand that, and once that clicks on your head and you realize that, the main victims in quotes politically of wokeism in quotes is actually, the hard left, I think a light bulb might switch on in your head,
It's
and
all
then you
right
should
though,
probably go and
because the Miami Herald is here to tell us that Ron DeSantis signs bill mandating communism lessons in classes. GOP leans on education. Yeah, don't even, we're not even going to teach you about the left of today or the actual elites that rule over you. We're going to talk about Mao Zedong, Joseph Stalin, and Fidel Castro, but we're not going to tell you about the fact that the American government propped them up as their own bad guys.
It's very, that's clever because it plays into the feeling that
Do you
the
know
boomer right
the
has.
Lotus Eaters did a 20-odd minute video on this earlier today?
You know what? The image in the thumbnail in the middle of the MAGA guy is the personification of R slash the Donald in the series Murdoch Murdoch. And going back and watching a lot of Murdoch Murdoch is a bit Wignat cringe, but stuff like the cruel fate of Kekistan today is just it's aged like a fine wine. It's so funny, it's so good, and it so perfectly satirizes those people. And it's become more and more obvious as time has gone on that they were right. That it's hilarious that you end up in this like civic nationalist kiddie pool, and you end up in a situation where you're. I don't know, there's a great scene to the song "Private Dancer," with all like the essentially like the MAGA thoughts, and stuff like that. I don't know, it really does. This plays up to both those crowds, though. It plays up to the boomer conservatives who just want to go back to the 50s and 60s, and it plays into the wow, based guys, anti-communism.
Well, do you not see
It's
the other thing that DeSantis has been working on to go hand in hand with his Don't Say Gay bill that puts forward the common sense position that we all agree with, of course, that it's only safe to give sex education to 10-year-olds. Is it
grooming starts at 10.
It is a don't say discrimination or something like that is honestly the name of it. But it's essentially a mandated sort of equality bill and is like a state enshrinement and of tokens of civil rights that, you know, don't worry, guys, you know, even though DeSantis has done all this other evil, bad stuff, he's not that evil.
We're the real heirs of MLK, guys.
Yeah.
It's very, again, Sam Francis's essay about Reagan and MLK Day is extremely applicable here. But it is the, we're the real civil rights activists. All we want is equality egalitarianism like the 60s. Weren't they good? Wasn't that great? Haven't things drifted into wacky leftism? Don't we just need to go back to the pure and good dialectic of the 1960s where everything that the left said was right? Just, it's also obvious, but it's also tiresome. And yeah, a lot of people who are, I don't know, maybe DeSantis could be cajoled in some way into actually being, you know, maybe nominally useful, but he'd have to basically hold a gun to his head and tell him, like, yeah, right, you're Mussolini now and you do what we say. that's what it would take in American politics. But it's funny seeing, again, supposedly the bleeding edge of the American conservative movement, DeSantis, enshrining in law things that would make a 1960s radical, in quotes at the time, extremely happy.
Mm.
And that nobody seems to have like a totalizing picture of
It's all right, though, because Nick Fuentes is going to debate Ethan Ralph on the internet and have slap fight.
No, he was debating, he was white knighting Ethan Ralph on the internet by debating internet aristocrat.
Sorry. Yeah, Metica, or whatever his name is.
Yeah. See, I'm going to keep calling him internet aristocrat.
I don't even know who these funny people are.
Checks for favors.
But like, Nick, you know, that's your fucking, you know, as you said, that's your Mussolini. It's like some Sperg on the internet ranting about whatever needs to get clicks that day. It's all just, it's so much of it's just entertainment, and it's just pure entertainment. It rubs me the wrong way.
I think you're being very generous there. What's happened is that you've got some like Fuentes, who again is advertised as this edgy presence. He's advertised as this white nationalist. He's advertised as this darling of the alt-right, and he's got all this America First money. And he's like the far edge, the cool groiper edge of the America First thing, which is all wrapped up in the Stop the Steal stuff, the Bring Back the MAGA stuff, the Reset the Clock to 2015 stuff. He's very wrapped up in that, and what he does is he wastes people's fucking time with internet debates with the, you know, the Gunt himself. He basically is, you know, involving himself in the marital problems of the Gamergate people, because apparently we just 2015 is a year we cannot move on from. No matter what happens, we're stuck in like a tumble dryer with it. We're just going round and round and round and round and round.
As I said, we're all swimming in the sea of shit, and we refuse to get out.
It's such an, anyone who's been involved in these circles, in quotes, for long enough, has to have this like palpable disdain for all the wasted energy that happens.
Oh no, I feel it. I feel it, and in so many ways that it hurts. I just cannot be bothered with it.
That is the essence of the baseball pit. You get these absolute clowns flapping around in this little corner with their little pet issues, fighting tooth and nail, expending all this energy on meaningless endeavors. Like, we've not talked about it fully yet, but one of the big things that still persists is the Stop the Steal movement.
Yeah, no, there was a, what was it? I was getting the one the other day on Rumble, the alternative media outlet, from Dinesh D'Souza of San Francis, cancelling fame about these 4,000 mules, these vote-carrying mules, because Dinesh D'Souza His sole job is to make sure that you, as a disaffected right winger, still believe in the core tenets and legitimacy of liberal democracy.
Yes. The entire argument from the election onwards, from the Stop the Steal movement, has been that they are the real guardians of democracy.
Hmm.
That democracy is magical, and if you just follow its tenets to the letter, you will bring about the return of 1776. And 1776 is about democracy. It is one of, I think, the greatest tricks that has been played on this entire populist experiment.
Well, don't you know that it was 1776, they marched down whatever fucking road it was and get Paul Revere, and they've got a wooden box out, and everyone wrote their favourite person on a piece of paper, and then he put it in the box, and he showed the box to the king, and he said, look, we've got all these bits of paper, and then the king fucked off. Is that not what happened?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
All right, and... glad we're up to speed on that.
You understand history. It's all about the democracy, guys. It's one of the most amazing things, and then one of the most amazing things to witness, you know, prior to some of the COVID stuff, was, you know, a lot of people expect a lot of cheating in 2016, and that very likely, you know, we haven't had a clean election in the world.
There
I would say.
No such thing as a clean election.
That's the point. We've never had a quote unquote clean election. It's a myth. But there's this idea that the 2016 election was in some way legitimate, and that every election before it was in some way sanctified and legitimate. But it's just this one aberration. It's just this one aberration. Democracy isn't functioning as intended, and we have to fix the democracy, and then we'll get our freedom and burgers and fries.
Hmm.
Everything will be
everyone doesn't understand about politics is you just vote the good people in and everything will be okay.
Well,
why don't we just try that? Have we not tried that before?
Voting
the good people in?
We vote the good people and democracy.
Yeah.
It's something like a third of the American public, like in aggregate, not even just a third of votes, a third of the American public in aggregate, in some way believes that the 2016 election, so the 2020 election, was illegitimate or had heavy tampering going on with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's both Republicans and Democrats who think that. It is actually one of the biggest shared aspects between, like, across the political spectrum. It's one of the biggest things people seem to agree on at the moment, that there was a large amount of interference in the 2020 election, and yet nothing has been done about it.
There was the Million Man March on January 6th, and essentially Donald Trump acting as, he was the container in chief that day, because he brought all these people there, he got them all in trouble, and then he allowed the left, or at least allowed the left, to attempt to set this coup precedent, which they're still, you know, it's nearly 2 years now, and they're still trying to continue on, and as someone pointed out earlier on, you've still got bloody X-22. And all the Q people talking about how Trump's still going to come back.
Yeah, we're talking about we've had the pandemics, all that narrative. We've had the inflation. We have all this digital ID stuff. We are hurtling towards like the digital ID singularity, and people are talking about Trump's 2024 run.
Yeah,
and it's disastrous. It's like collapse levels on the right, if that's the state of things. It is that bad, and people need to realize what's going on and snap out of it.
Well, no, it's all right anyway, because they're going to run on the based platform, and we're totally not going to find out by 2024 that the entirety of leftist media has actually just been run by a GOP click farm because it makes them look good. I mean, it's becoming to me the only acceptable and logical explanation for the existence of the left in the way it does now. I mean, if these people really cared about values and all this other stuff that we seem to in our sort of distant right circle, then they would just go out and fucking stop these people. It would just be done. And it's not being done, because it's a lot easier to just keep saying you're going to stop these people and get the clout from that than it is actually going out and stopping them.
There's not that many
of them.
No.
They have names and addresses, and they have all done things that constitute crimes. So, you know, We should all be able to go out and just grab these people, citizens' arrest, and we'd have it be done. And your local politician that supposedly agrees with your based sentiments would support you in that, surely. But they don't. They instead report you to the authorities for being Nazis or right-wing extremists, or my new favorite punching right technique that I've seen. When you yourself are an anti-Semite and cannot call someone a Nazi, just call them a conspiratard.
Yeah,
It's a great
that's just a
one.
conspiracy theory, guys.
Ah.
There's people on the right, in quotes, of American politics who think that saying that the 2020 election was illegitimate is a bridge too far. And that's like the mainstream opinion, that whole thing must be put aside, but there's this little area that we keep around because it keeps people going. There's the whole stop the steal thing that is seen as like non-mainstream. It is mainstream, really, but it's seen as politically non-mainstream. It's a great way of creating that mystique around it as being alternative, when really it's kind of establishment because it's so useful. But once again, nobody is willing to go the step further, which is to say that no elections are legitimate. No legi elections have ever been legitimate. Because it's very much like will to power. It's what it is you have the magical votes. They are set by a central authority, and all you have is mass amounts of political theory. No one is going anywhere near in those circles the idea that democracy itself might be the problem. That is not up for discussion. That is not up for debate.
Oh God.
It is so
Sorry, I
far
just,
outside.
I'm not to interrupt you, but I'm just, scrolling through my YouTube, quickly looking to see what there is there, and there's Dev and Lilith streaming about J.K. Rowling. Jesus. It's just that easy. You just talk about the shit. You scoop a big bit of the sea of shit out, you chow down on it, and everyone loves it. It's great.
As I keep saying to people, like the Elon Musk is gonna unban Trump and he's gonna say Gamergate.
Yeah, that's hilarious. That people actually put faith in that man in any way, shape, or form just shows how desperate, and again, how victimized people are. They are that desperate for someone to come out and to save them. Please, where is our great man of history? It's not Elon. That's not him for sure. Your great men of history are currently starving in the street because petrol costs a fortune and the price of meat is going through the
Why are people like begging a man who tortures chimpanzees to death with
Yeah.
brain chips using government money
And
to
yeah, if
save?
anyone's not seen that footage, go and look at it. Go watch the very, very confused and disturbed monkeys run around inside a glass box, dribbling with like a bleeping light and a chip hanging off the side of their skull. I'm by no means no bleeding heart animal rights activist, but I don't want that shit in my fucking head.
No, I don't want that shit in my dog's head or any other living creature's head. It's an abomination, and I don't understand why people are engaging even fleetingly in this. It's like seeing like a dog return to its own vomit. That's what it is. They can't help themselves. They eat this. They eat up these narratives. It makes them sick,
Yeah,
and then they go back and eat
someone's
it.
talking about he's a fraud, electric cars have been around for 150 years. No, exactly. The existence of the milk float proves that the sort of thermodynamic restrictions around batteries make it good for going about 15 miles, and that's it.
15 miles at about 50 miles an hour.
Works great for
Any
that, but if you want anything else, sod off.
Well, you'll get this. Our political str the political struggle of our time is we have to defend J.K. Rowling, a
Yeah.
re you know a Blairite from the evil trans activists. We have to ally ourselves with the TERFs, guys. It's one of the things I like when I am on Twitter occasionally. I like watching Mitch go around and like beat people with a stick. And be like, TERF has the word radical feminist in it, right? It's like, why don't you think it's funny that these people are being raped in prison? It's fucking hilarious because they did this to themselves. It's like It's like, no, it's funny. You should laugh at them and want them to kill each other. That is the main
No,
thrust of that.
because you should want it all to disappear off into obscurity.
Yeah, that's the point. You want them
And
to destroy
the
each
thing
other
is,
and to
it's
go
not
away.
even the case of like laughing at it, because laughing at it again is, that's maybe the only silver lining of floating in a sea of shit. The people who
Yeah.
don't float in a sea of shit don't know the fact that like loads of, or supposedly, whether it, I don't even know if it's true. it's all just reports we get of shit
It is.
through second and third hand like local news sources and this, that, and the next thing. It might all just be fucking not real. Who cares?
Well, that's the other point, that the best thing to do is to disengage from that dialectic and not engage in it, because it's a false dialectic that you're being drawn into to essentially turn the conservative movement into 1970s feminist talking points. Why would you do this? I am just incensed all the time. And I know that's tiresome to certain people, but like, stop it. Why would you do this to your supposedly dissident movement? Why would you deliberately ball pit yourself like that? And that's what we see. That's what we see with, like, we talked briefly about the whole Fuentes situation, but he's just the latest example of a long running trend. He's a late example of this. He's a trajectory that a lot of people took. He's supposed to be the end point of this on-ramp that somehow leads people from Tim Pool to Sargon to Nick Fuentes, and then they become white nationalists somehow, instead of them just watching like dribbling internet drama in which they see two people screaming at each other about irrelevances.
What about what Jews are the Jews to blame, or some nonsense like that?
Yeah, it's the 52nd stream in a month about the JQ guys. That's gonna save the West. And that's what it serves as. It serves as this little corner where you can rail against these things that you don't like and feel a bit better, and then go out and do nothing. I hope this is not what this functions as. Because there are elements of us complaining about this, but by complaining about it, we're engaging in a almost a similar process. But you have to identify it to be able to do anything about it. And it really is try and read things, do things, and think about things
Well,
that are in some way substantive.
people need to get more elitist, really, I think, to be totally honest. And I don't know. I might just start leaning into it more, because people don't seem to, there is the people in our chat, there's the people that engage with our stuff, and they get it, they don't give a shit in regards to certain characteristics of oneself. However, there is other people that want to make a complete and utter issue, complete and utter issue, and you cannot engage without, taking big scoops to the sea of shit and drowning in it. So I
Yes.
don't know, I might just completely lean into being elitist and just. You're pretending people don't exist. I mean, I like the argument you always hear from people is like, "Well, Sargon's good because he brings in more people," and it was something we kind of discussed the other week, and some people didn't seem to like it. But I for one, do not understand, and I can't see any convincing argument about why we need more people. We
Oh,
don't
well, I
need
was gonna.
more people. We need better people, or we need to make the people we have better.
That argument is you can't say that or else we won't get an extra hour in the ball pit. It's very extra hour in the ball pit. It's like, look, we have to have these e-celebs who talk about civic nationalism and want to get the feminists out of video games. And they've been doing that for 7 years. God, more than now. 8 years. They've been doing that for 8 years because it pours more balls into the ball pit.
Yeah, we're gonna
Like,
make anti-SJW comics a thing.
we need more balls in the ball pit. It's
Which
like, okay.
I understand, because is something I'm looking at and thinking about. I'm going to do more stuff on at some point. Is that we need to start looking at ourselves as a propaganda network, and to some
Yeah.
extent, the ball pit is required. But we need to have groups of people who are separated from that circle, And maybe there will be intermediaries or people who exist in one circle. There will need to be people who, maybe there are people who understand this already, but that they are the, they are the ball pit leaders. I don't know what you want to call them, but they are their own ball pit and they keep people around them. And they need to understand that and take advantage of that position so that even if those people are contained, they are still contained under the influence of those who are not willing to be the containment or the ball pit, as it were. And that we, as the left does, we forcefully drag the rest of the elements in our movement by drip feeding them the stuff they need because they don't have anything to go off themselves.
It's a whole point of just like not letting yourself be contained and not letting yourself be consumed by a single issue.
But
You like you.
some people are already like that though, and I don't think, someone that has some audience of, half a million subscribers or however many followers on Telegram, or this, that, and the next thing, to the point whereby you maybe have a core audience of people who really understand what you're doing, but the other 90% are, they're there for the entertainment factor.
The
Now,
casual, yeah,
yeah,
the casual
now,
viewer.
those people who are in that position need to, if they aren't going to play into the 10% and make that their core base and do something different, which is, I think, the way we approach it. Maybe not in the sense that we have that 90%, but we have only that 10% because the core people are the small circular group around us who actually care and give a shit. And they watch the stuff and they engage with the ideas. So you can either play into that and you can do this stuff seriously, or you can be the ball pit coordinator.
Yeah.
And some people, I think, we need ball pit coordinators as much as we may not like it, but we need the ball pit coordinators to be listening in. So that there is a distribution of information and ideas from, the top sort of condensed component right all the way down to the mainstream, which is how the way the left does it. And there is no reason why we can't take advantage of what's left of internet freedom,
Is
as it were,
this,
to do the very
yeah.
same.
There's something I've been trying to put down on paper for quite a while. I've tried to write this article a few times as a bit of a follow-up to my barking at the headlines thing. There is this version of the online right that the left writes about that has this coordinated ramp in which you bring people in with more palatable ideas than you gradually, essentially indoctrinate them into being these radicals who are like willing to commit the big crime. And this fictional version of the online right doesn't exist, but it should do.
Yes, it should do, exactly.
You look at this like boogeyman that the left has, activists have created, the activist class on the left has created. And you look at the like actual like it's like the difference between like the muscly doge and like the cheems. Like that's the difference here, in that they have this image, and they're telling us what really we should be doing. Which what you do is everyone along the chain knows they're part of a chain, and that they know what they're doing is being the palatable face of ideas that are
Yeah,
dangerous to the regime.
it's getting the Lindsay Ellis, like, fucking, dark web, right wing communication network, and actually making it real.
Yeah, it's the idea that Tim Pool actually is Mr. Right, the 14 words down New York's billionaire's row. It's the idea that you need people, everyone along the chain, if this is to be reality, is to be some kind of Machiavellian actor. Like they have to, this has to be their entire day. They have to be committed to it, and that's nowhere near what exists. There very much isn't anywhere to
I
go.
think
It's
if you could get them to consciously think about that first, it would be
yeah,
such a big step.
but it's like the whole like don't punch right thing that people talk about, which is it's very relevant, and that what you can't do is you can't pull a James Lindsay. As so many people do, and go, I am the backstop. I am the most right-wing person who can exist, and anyone more quote-unquote right-wing or unpalatable or anti-regime than me is a wacko who's trying to pull, the whole pendulum swing idea. Oh, we just get the pendulum to the neutral position and keep it there, guys.
Yeah.
It's like how many levels of retardation are you on, my dude?
No,
It's like,
it's at that moment where if you step out of their bounds, you are now, I want to make sure that, again, language that I want to make sure gets spread. We exist in what is what I think we should all refer to as the unsanctioned right. And that what we are doing is illegal at the end of the day.
yes.
The nature, the structure of the sort of system of law we live under is getting as close as it can to making what we are illegal. And it does that by bit by bit by bit by bit by factoring and all sorts of other things, and that sort of therapeutic and incremental manner in the way that it does. And that, we are being, we exist in that space where we haven't been made fully illegal yet, but we are unsanctioned because we can't engage in the system. We can't engage in society for the most part if you've got any prominence around you. I mean, I understand that the phrase dissident right is good as well, but I think it's more, it becomes more clear if you refer to the conservative establishment as the sanctioned right.
Yes, the regime right. They are the court jesters that, like, I talk about the regime libertarians, which are very, very much a good example of that. You see a very hard divide there. Oh, we have a donation. Thank you for the $3, Chloe. He says there is nothing in the system that can change the system. Best you can do is start of a rebellion to change the culture to counteract democratic failings. I kind of get what you're saying there, but yeah, there's you that nothing in the system within the system can change the system is right. That's the way it's designed.
Well, yeah,
It's
it's a bit stupid, but it's kind of like a funny joke. You can't be honest about being an anti-democratic party, because the coordinators of the democratic mechanism itself would turn around and say, "Well, your mandate's illegitimate because you don't believe in democracy."
Yeah, it's funny that the one thing democracies can't produce is an end to democracy, because that's seen as completely illegitimate within the bounds of democracy.
And
It's
it's not to say
tautology.
Fukuyama's right. It's to say that if you want out of democracy, you better start thinking properly and not just like going with the different avenues of containment that are offered to you.
No, it's as I talked about in my long, I guess, edited speech now. Yeah, the Fukuyama has it backwards in that he sees the natural end of the kind of democracy tautology as this wonderful thing that prevents tyranny, when really you end up in a self-perpetuating, the big ball pit, really, the big democratic ball pit. One thing I want to talk about as well when we discuss the online right containment is, you touched on it there, but the idea that if if they're going to get rid of you anyway, you might as well make as big a scene as you can on the way out. Like, you, as I've had this discussion at length with people, it's like, you are already unpalatable. You will never have mainstream appeal. They are never going to respect you. That's the big thing. I think that's the big thing everybody in the ball pit, as it were, as we're using this metaphor, has in common, in that they, in some way, are still holding on to the idea that they will have the respect of the regime. They are, in some way, still thinking that they, through force of performance or force of argument, or through holding on to whatever little nuggets of what they consider the real Britain or real America, that they will win either the respect of the regime or the respect of the people.
Well, yeah, it's passivity. It's almost in that kind of sense that Bowden talks about it, the aspect of liberalism within yourself. They're waiting for the regime to bestow upon them sanctioning when they should just go out and take it for themselves and ride it until it's no good anymore. And hopefully by then you've been clever enough to make sure that you're still all right.
I've had this discussion quite semi-publicly with some people, like all the people who are nominally part of less skeptic community who would still speak to me. They've essentially backed away from me, because I've told them what their argument is: you don't want to be an extremist. And my argument is, No, you want to be the most extremist you can be. You want to turn it up to 11 and then, write some new numbers on the dial. Because what you're doing is you're making a big ask, and by making a big ask, you have to make them compromise. Because if you go so far down the logical conclusions of where this is taking you, what you believe in, you just skip to the end, and you go, right, I'm going to ask for all of this. You might have a chance of actually getting something substantive. And at the very least, what you will do is you will scare the shit out of them because they are not prepared for it. And it's the entire thing that we
Call
need
their
to
bluff.
moderate ourselves. Oh yeah, we need to, or we need to have a small act. We need to ask to leave the EU. We need to ask them nicely to change the election laws. We need to have our debates with Internet Aristocrat. You should be looking at, these little internet issues. You should be looking at this, looking at that, rather than having the big ask, rather than doing things in totality and just going, right, we're actually going to do something, and either they come and get us or they have to compromise in some way. And yeah, you're right, you have to call the bluff. And nobody's really willing to do that because it might cost them something. And also, I think performatively as well, no one is willing to put themselves out there and abandon, the ball pit is comfy and profitable. Let's not forget that part.
Of course. Well, that is one of those things I think about as the reason why a lot of these people can't trim the dead waste out of their following is because doing so and turning it into an effective political organization would make it a non-profitable one, especially in regards to YouTube monetization and stuff like that. We need to look at patronage in a completely different way, I think.
Yes,
But
we do.
that's again a different discussion. But again, you need to look at the incentive structure there. The incentive structure is to have, your ball pit be as big but as shallow as possible. We should at least want deep ball pits that people can sink their teeth into
Or at least ones that will disguise all the pits.
a little bit. Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh dear. Again, the other big issue that I see with this is that over time, all of these single issue people, or all of these containment people, or all of these e-celeb bubbles end up dispersing naturally. Some of them get quite violently popped, obviously, but the problem with the containment is that it's a great way of wasting people's energy and fizzling it out, and it's very deliberate. And I believe wholeheartedly, when you look at something like the Nick Fuentes situation, that he is being funded as he is by a large part of the Republican Party to contain the kind of the Zoomer right-wing energy, as it were,
See, as I've
to
said before, though, I think that's something that provides us actually some amount of utility. However, now that that whole scene might be collapsing, I worry that many of us are going to get washed away in the influx of LeBased Zoomers.
possibly. It is also a great way to flood people with retards. As rupturing an abscess will flood your bloodstream with bacteria, emptying some sort of like ball pit, like we saw what would happen like we saw what happened to the Chans during the purges from mainstream social media. There was like a backwash effect, and it ended up destroying a bunch of mildly useful spaces, like what was briefly some of the more intriguing aspects of something like Poll, which is now dead
Yep.
and has been dead for a very long time.
Poll's just a that's just an agitation program nowadays. I can't really see that having any other use to it other than that, because that's just people going to argue all day, and they're not even arguing about anything worthwhile. It's just shit. It's just they're getting right up onto the top board, and they're diving deep out and deep down, right to the bottom of the shit corals. They know, they can
The
feel
whispering
that,
winds of
yeah,
shit.
the tides of shit are flowing.
Well, this it mirrors something I talked about the other week, which was the whole pissing the sea of piss thing. We have the sea of shit and the sea of piss. We're a very highbrow show here. But it's this idea that both of them are this idea that, you can't really add to it. A lot of people really by sharing all this bad agitation and by by amplifying the propaganda as we talk about time and time again. It's one of these ideas I think both of you and me want to drill into people's skull, that all of these headline barking channels, as I dub them, all of these news headline repeaters are just injecting the propaganda into you.
Yeah.
Tim Pool reading a BuzzFeed article is still you being read a BuzzFeed article.
Ah,
You're still consuming.
you're engaging with BuzzFeed's content, and you
Yeah.
are, especially if you then go and react to it, you comment on it, you share it. Even to the point whereby you may share it in a way and argue about it that accepts their premise, which is always the worst part, and people seem to be doing it time and time again.
You're at least engaging in their argument. Like there's no content to be had of someone rejecting something wholesale, of someone saying this exists, but it is wholly inadequate and you should not engage with it. You should not, allow your mind to be poisoned by it. I feel like getting those big, like those Garfield, you are not immune to propaganda images, because those are hilarious.
I think I've got a good one of those actually.
But there's some great ones out there, but it is the truth that you are still allowing this stuff to become your news source, even if you're railing against it, even if you have a negative. It's the negative vision, is what it is. And again, that is another aspect that the containment pools all have. Most of them are single issue, and they are against something. Yeah, that's a great one. Farage was against, Britain being in the EU. You have the MAGA movement, which is wholly focused on, stop the steal. They are against the debasement of American democracy. They have no other vision apart from that. You have the kind of Fuentes crowd, which buys into a lot of these narratives. But really, what you see there is that they are essentially the edgy and end of like the anti-woke stuff. They are, it's you know, they are against the current thing in many ways. But
Yes,
it's still.
it's just as much as you're just as current minded by always being against the current thing as those who are for the current thing, because you're still engaging in the mass
With the curve, yeah.
organization, which
You
is
are still engaged. Yeah.
the whole point is not the content of. I mean, this is a thing that's going to sound possibly confusing to some people, and I can understand why, because in the face of it, it does seem it, because it seems that you would read this stuff for the content. But that's not so important. It's just getting you to engage with it and be around and be present around this stuff, irrespective of what, whether it's about LGBT, this, race, that. The reason why they come up with all these different classifications is not because they care about these different classifications. It's that it gives them so many different, again, avenues to contain both radical left and right-wing organizations. Especially in regards to, like, I don't know, flooding people with neo-Nazi imagery from Ukrainian organizations that are funded and supported by NATO. Like,
NATO tweeting out a black sun is like such it's like such a, an obvious it's like I've talked about this before, but it's like they're in an anime telegraphing their attacks.
oh, yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's
It feels like that with so much of the digital stuff as well, but I'll let you go on.
where essentially this is like NATO doing like an episode of Goku charging up. Like NATO were just stood there for an entire episode, making their little black sun energy ball. Now I have to make this meme. Is that'll work really well. But that's what it is. It's so telegraphed. They're like winding their fist up at us, and people just aren't seeing it. It's like they're laughing at us. Like, do you think that the NATO communications platform would accidentally tweet out a black sun? Do you research the history of NATO and how involved they are with things like the CIA? And if you think that's possible, I have several bridges to sell you, and NFTs of bridges.
Yeah, like an Elio Noir character telling a lie, exactly. The one I found so funny was that, like, people from that, what was the American group, Patriot Front, that everyone was running around to defend as not feds, and then they got caught secretly talking and saying the N-word on a live stream. But
Oh, I.
those same people went out and did MMA training with the former head of Azov Battalion, who was previously trained by the CIA. So, like, These people were just out there learning hot Ukrainian MMA moves. There was definitely no, coordinating between different full right-wing organizations set up by, different arms of globalist and geopolitical interests with the interest of making us signal booster propaganda day in, day out through a war that we shouldn't give a shit about.
That's the whole thing that he talks about with the Ukraine dialectic, is that they purposely amplify or some elements of the online right think we should be supporting Ukraine. And it's so telegraphed and obvious because it is meant to appeal to those people. Because actually being some sort of retarded 14 idiot wignat isn't threatening to the regime.
Especially not when you are so unaware. Again, it's, the ideology to some point doesn't even matter on that front. It's just if you are so unaware and cannot read the programming in front of you that they're telling you how they're doing it, it's all there for you to read it. And if you just don't bother your shirt, then you are not someone we need. Which,
no.
Again, sounds cruel, but it's the way we're going to have to go about this stuff if we're ever going to get anywhere.
One of the other big debates I see in the quote-unquote dissident right, especially with the anti-SJW circles, is about the danger of purity spiraling, and that we need to accept this broad church of ideas, and we need to accept all of these, liberal talking points, because we have to have the biggest audience, and that we can't be like the left, because the left purity spirals and that's bad, and it will destroy the movement, guys. And it's just like, I've been waiting, and everyone has been waiting for the supposed purity spiraling of the left to destroy it for decades.
And all it seems to do is get more powerful.
Yeah, and all it seems to get is more pure. It's almost like if you enforce like a basic ideological uniformity on certain issues that are important to you, you begin to win against enemies that don't do that.
Do you know what it is? People don't understand basic, like, functional organization stuff. The reason why some organizations have a turnover of staff is because they are churning through people to pick for quality, not quantity.
Yes.
The high turnover and the number of people coming through isn't a consequence of the fact that they need that many people. It's that getting through that many people allows them to sift for quality. And we need to look at all the different sectors of the right, quote-unquote, most of which isn't right-wing in any way that can really be identified anyway.
No.
But for our sake, we might as well hide behind them as bloody, like, flesh shields. We need to be stealing the best from those people that are churning through, your Tim Pools,
yes,
and all that. But you never hear from them. Maybe there is just a case that there is so few examples, and it is, young people kind of possibly like myself and people like Turnip and Prudentialist and stuff like that are really all we've got.
That and Mr. Aquinas.
I mean more in the sense of, folk that haven't been involved in this stuff for years and years,
As much as
I've been engaging with content and these circles for, longer than I dare to think, sort of the position I play in it now, as much as that is very small, is one that has been accelerated and helped by the fact that people have identified me as someone that is worth keeping around.
Yes.
And other people need to be doing that as well. And we need to be pulling everyone up for the bootstraps and any shit like that, but we need to not be just thinking about having the most amount of people. We also need to have the best people.
We've got another donation here from James Merry. Thank you, James Merry, for $5, saying being extreme, utterly uncompromising, threatening violence is against people and their families is how the left and the state have achieved so much. Why shouldn't we use methods that are proven to work? I mean, the man has a point.
Mm.
Another donation from Glowy there for $3. It says people don't need democracy; it's democracy that needs people, which is a good way. It is like a consuming. It is the ultimate people consumer,
mm-hmm,
is democracy. It must have all the people. All the people must vote, and we will force you to vote. Compulsory voting is still the funniest thing in the world to me. Fucking Australia. But that's beside
They're
the
going to be
point. But no,
clamping on that here soon, I reckon, because
possibly, yes.
if I'm right in saying there was a lot of stuff that was put out around the local elections the other week, and they seem to be targeting apathy, and specifically apathy of people who are not Labour voters, I'll put it that way. Much like Hope Not Hate, who happened to do a campaign video just round about the local elections about how supposedly the far right agenda is not to vote.
Yeah,
All
that's
seems
that.
to, all seems to me like a nice little precursor for here's why we should make voting
Compulsory, yeah. Here's why we should fine people for not voting, yes. Here's
Well,
how not vote.
of course, we'll need a system to do that.
Of course, yes. Well, your vote has to be anonymous, of course, but you know, the blockchain's anonymous, guys. That's just it's all so tiresome, my dudes. But again, with the whole purity spiraling thing, you look at the way that like leftist activist organizations do things, and even then they're not great, to be honest. They have a lot of their own, you know, deliberate failings that hamstring them because they can't become a threat to the regime. But you look at the way they ruthlessly police messaging and the behavior of members, and any deviation from the ideological line in any way will get you destroyed. And I feel like Colonel Kurtz looking at that pile of little arms. You know, the will it takes to do that. You know, give me 10 of those activists and who've read Leviathan and its enemies, and I will give you a movement overnight. It's the will. Oh dear. Someone asked earlier because of DashCon if anyone had made a FashCon joke. But that's a good one. No one's made a FashCon joke yet. I also saw someone make a black hole sun joke about the spicy pinwheel. Oh my God. Did that get auto modded? I don't know. But my first thought, yeah, it's very black wheel sun, won't you come and wash
I'm
away the
just gonna,
fumes? But
for the sake of flashiness on the screen, purely just because I found it the other day. Just a nice little unrelated issue, but www.gov.uk, the official government website, UK government's view on greenhouse gas removal technologies and solar radiation management. Which is them
oh, this.
basically, yeah, them like a straight up admittance that they're spraying shit into the fucking sky to create chemtrails and stuff like that. Oh, don't worry though, I'm
Dear.
just a conspiratard, so don't listen to me. Nor should you pay
You.
attention to the fact that the EU Commission recently went through the chat control bill, and it is now one of their current things that they're discussing. And in large part, this bill is being argued as a way to stop child sexual abuse, that right-wing moral issue that we've been talking about for years. And it's finally going to get handled by policing right-wing people off the internet so that no one can talk about it anymore.
Yes,
That's going
very
to be
much
great,
so.
isn't it? That's how you solve
This
the
is.
problem. You just get rid of the people who identify the problem. Yep, job done.
The funny thing about that is that what they're doing is, their argument is that because we can't just go out and shoot all the paedophiles, that we need to assume that everyone is a paedophile at all times and could become a paedophile at any moment. That is the societal solution, or you know, that is the argument they're making with the whole chat scanning thing. Every message that is sent on the internet must be scanned because you are a potential paedophile, and you know, we can't just go out and shoot the pedophiles. We have to scan everyone, even though we know where they are, they're on a register, and we can just go and get them. But that's beside the point. It is very funny that that is the way it's being justified, though. It's a fallback. You begin to see the left utilization of the boogeyman, as it were, that they can be used very, very well as a political tool. And maybe that's what's being done a little bit in Florida.
Seems that
Not to,
way.
again, yeah. And if it is quite effective
Don't worry
to.
though, because libertarians have been investing in blockchain for half a decade, so that mutts can go and abort half a dozen kids through blockchain guaranteed privacy, and then Richard Spencer will clap because as long as it's not white people that are being aborted, it's okay. Which is again is another one of those things that I've had to just ignore and not engage with, because it's like all these like big talking figures and your people who would be at FashCon, to be honest, are all sitting there being like, well, there is the argument morally for being against abortion, but pragmatically, more black people abort than but so like, well, God.
Actual like utilitarian fascism,
Yes.
like it's Bentham with a little Hitler tash drawn on
Yeah.
him. Most
It's
good
all
for
right,
the
we live in
most
the
white people.
Panopticon, but I've got like a copy of Siege and a swastika myself, so everything's okay.
And the guards are white, it's okay.
Yeah, they're
No,
all
the guards
Aryan.
may or may not be white. We can't tell. We've never seen them.
But we're told they are.
Yeah, we're told, we're reliably informed that the guards are white, so it's all fine. Oh
Back to
no.
whittling.
Well, yes, back to whittling my soap into the shape of Rage Against Storm. Yes. The obscure references abound this week. Should we go over quickly? We've not done it yet, but it's a great example of what we're talking about. Is the Telegraph article you posted about
Suppose
being woke.
it can be the
It's a good
closer for
bookend.
this evening.
Because it's a very good illustration of how the anti-woke dialectic, basically 2015 fucking Gamergate talking points, have become like the mainstream soft right Telegraph, wear your Union Jack mask for Britain politics.
And see that there was people that are saying we should take this as a win, and I'm still, well, it's like, what, we're supposed to take it as a win because we believe these people fucking care? No, they're just, it's performative. That's all it is. It's giving us false hopes. They're giving us titbits because they know we are out there, and they know that we need to be appeased. Because if we aren't appeased, we will finally go out and do something.
Yeah, this is the red meat. This is the equivalent of a 90s neocon saying Rand.
Being called woke is an insult to everyone, except if you vote Labour. Perceptions of the term have become more negative, but those on the left of the political spectrum are more likely to disagree.
It's the discussion I've had many times with many people of being.
God. The Merriam-Webster dictionary defines woke as aware of and actively attentive to important facts and issues, in brackets, especially issues of racial and social justice. So just, yeah, it means nothing then. It means whatever you want it to mean, and it's pure, it's pure dialectics.
It is. It is the pure dialectic. It is a blank slate of a term. It means whatever you want it to mean at the particular moment, and it is a catch-all term for people we politically think are silly or people we don't like. It's not even a good like friend enemy
God,
signifier.
yeah. Since
It's like a gay one.
2020, researchers at the Policy Institute at King's College London and Ipsos UK have been carrying out a series of studies informed by surveys of nearly 3,000 people, providing an in-depth assessment of the culture war debate in the UK. There is a point from Elul that I always come back to, which is that you cannot engage in public opinion studies because you cannot talk to the whole public. It's like a calculation problem, sort of.
Yeah.
You
It's like a knowledge
only.
and calculation problem, but about like, human thought.
So far as the fact that you can't measure the effectiveness of a public relations campaign if you aren't measuring the entire relations of all the public, because it's that mass effect. Not to talk about whatever stupid fucking games those were related to, but it is the effect on the mass. Is what you're after with propaganda. Who cares if you convince 1,600 or 3,000 people that the word woke's bad? Who gives a fucking shit? It's about the effect it has on society as a whole. Because, you know, in a study like this, they will be talking about wokeism as if it's from one source. They will not be talking about wokeism as the sort of social phenomenon that people understand it as, if they understand the evolution of ideas all the way from turn of the century progressivism into Calvinism and all these different other versions, and bloody Presbyterianism and its influences, and you know, they don't know this stuff, so they don't even know how even to get into what woke culture is. So how are they going to have a view on it, and why does their opinion even matter?
Again, what we were talking about as well is what you're seeing is a distant echo of the current like propaganda war. What they're doing is, it's a feedback loop. They're telling these people what to think, and then measuring what they think about what they've been told to think. It is a completely fictitious, created issue, and nobody in the general public had heard the word woke 5 years ago.
Nah.
So what, you know, they have a very surface level knowledge of what's going on, if they even know what's going on at all. They might see that it's been used as a, you know, pejorative, which it is used as a pejorative in many forms of media. And those who are like politically engaged in the left will see it used as a virtue signifier. But what does making people have a negative view, even if it's true, even if you could measure the public aggregate?
2 years ago, the public was split on whether the term should be seen as a compliment or insult. By that, they mean of 100% of 3,000 people, only 50% of people were able to answer one way or another, which means I'm not split. That 50% is split. But these figures have now changed to 36 and 26%. Now, I'm going to presume that's respective to compliment and insult above.
Yeah.
Meaning that the British public are more likely to view it as insulting, the proportion to say they don't know what the term, also falling from, so two more percent of people find the term insulting, but another 10% of people find it a compliment. So surely your 2% the other way is basically negated at that point. Like, I understand how quantities of numbers work, and those quantities don't tell the story that they would like to tell you there.
No. This is another great example of, you can make statistics say whatever you want them to say. That's why you shouldn't make an empiricoid statistical argument. You know, say you saw it in a dream. Tell them God told you. I don't fucking care. Just don't bring out statistics, especially the regime statistics. Now, there are useful things to be gained from certain data sets, yes, but you shouldn't wholly rely on them.
Oliver Dowden's Conservative Party chairman, in a speech to right-wing US think tank, whichever right-wing US think tank that is. It sure as shit wasn't the Mises Institute, so it wasn't a right-wing US think tank, I tell you that. The cabinet minister said woke ideas were not only everywhere, but were also a dangerous form of decadence at a time when our attention should be focused on external foes. Yes, man, disengage from the shackles of wokeism, for you are needed to be launched into the Ukrainian meat grinder.
Well, it's still, what is it, like 60... God, it's still the majority, like the biggest vote here is, I don't know, I don't care.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It is really just a fucking Ukrainian meat grinder. It's all in service of the current dialectic, and it's all in service of getting people to talk about the things they should be talking about at the current moment. I mean,
cancel culture, for example, didn't exist in our national discussions only a handful of years ago, but now there are thousands of articles that use the term. That's so weird. It's no surprise, then, that this media and political debate seems to have affected public opinion. Awareness of the key terms is growing, and the meaning of keywords is changing, not least woke, with a clear shift to seeing it as an insult rather than a compliment. The overall trend is towards people being more likely to see the UK as divided by culture wars. That is essentially a complete and utter admittance. that if all you stand for is anti-wokeism, you are actually at the forefront of the regime programming.
it's we pumped people full of a false dialectic and they engaged with it.
And
Isn't that
reacted
amazing?
to it in the way that we thought they would.
Yeah. It's a complete admission that this isn't a whole cloth invention, and this is a top down and not bottom up debate. That is an amazing paragraph. Read that again. Read that again.
Yeah, so it's no surprise then that this media and political debate seems to have affected public opinion. Awareness of the key terms is growing, and the meaning of key words is changing.
Let's go over that first line there. This media and political debate has affected the people. This is a debate that the media and political class have invented, and it is filtering down the population.
Yeah, and then the paragraph under this, it gets even more telling. I might just continue with the last two here, because
Keep
this is,
going, keep going, yeah.
yeah. We need to remember that these issues are far from the top of people's lists of concerns, and the vast majority of people are not as fired up as the media and social media discussion often suggests. But that doesn't mean the issues are irrelevant to the public. There are important debates to be had about culture change in the UK. However, the tone of the discussion, as much as the content matters, and the nature of the conversation we are currently having, is risking increased division. Wow, they said the same thing I said a number of minutes ago. As much as the content matters, you know, they're essentially trying to cover up the fact that the content doesn't matter. Just keep dividing yourselves, please.
Yeah, just keep compromising around what is and
Yeah.
isn't the word
Gideon
works.
Skinner, head of political research at Ipsos UK, added, "Culture wars are not top of mind in the public's daily concerns, but nevertheless, there are signs that awareness of some of its key terms is growing alongside a far greater focus on them in the media." Sorry, key terms in regards to culture wars. What might they be? With that greater awareness is a slowly growing belief that culture wars are dividing the UK. A growing belief that that's happening. It's not physically happening then, is it?
No, it's
And particularly changes in how people react to the phrase being woke. The research suggests that certain groups, notably older people and conservative and leave voters, are moving up from a position of not really knowing what being woke means to now clearly seeing it pejoratively. There we go. Oh.
We injected a debate into the public eye incessantly and a large volume for a large amount of time, and people have begun to discuss it from a baseline of not caring or not knowing. I'm surprised. I don't know how else you would read this, but like, why are they just saying? I like, are people just not smart enough to pick it up what they're
No, of
actually
course
saying?
they're not.
It's extremely obvious what's being said here.
Yeah,
We.
nevertheless, at an overall level, people are fairly split in their views towards woke. There has been no change in the proportion you see as a compliment. There was a 10% increase according to your own fucking Ipsos UK, Gideon Skinner, you lying fucking bastard. Especially among younger people, Labour voters and Remainers. And many people, of course, don't have a strong view one way or another, just as not everyone believes the country is divided by culture wars. So while there are reasons to be concerned about the potential for a focus on culture war divisions to feed polarization, not everyone yet sits on the screen. This, you know, you could take words here like woke, culture war, and just replace them with media class propaganda, and would
Yeah.
basically read word for word. But like, I'm actually, you know, no change in the proportion you see is a compliment. Scroll up, for example, the chair. Oh no, sorry, the one above that. Yeah, 2 years ago, the public was split on whether the term should be seen as a compliment. 26%. 2 years later, 36%. It's a 10% increase. It's a 10% increase, not on 50% or 60%, but it's a 10% increase on 1 in 4. Which pulls it to 1 in 3. It's a noticeable increase for anyone that should understand statistics, that you think the people at Ipsos UK, one of the great nudge units, would, but no, obviously not.
It's obviously been written. This could probably be written from a completely different perspective in a leftist newspaper, saying 10% more people if you woke as compliment would be like the Salon article headline. And you could have this, and it would serve the same function. It would say many of the same keywords from a slightly reverse position, and would function the same way as to try and bring people into continuing the dialectic.
I know,
And you could have
I just
this.
want people
You could
to
have
take
this.
this section greater media focus in those three paragraphs, four paragraphs in there, and just keep reading and thinking about them until it all makes sense. Because I the only way you can make sense of what is written there is we have engaged in a backhanded study of the people by trying to force the woke agenda on them and seeing how they react to it. And now we have realized how to balance that reaction with the positive aspect, which is
It's amazing.
why they would study the perception in that way.
You are biasing the sample group by asking them things that they don't like. The main opinion at the beginning of this study, in quotes, is that people don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And then you probably go through and have to inform them in order to get your study results. You poison the well by asking people what they think. It's like if you went round to like 10,000 people and like asked them what they thought of, what they thought of like the Two Girls One Cup video or whatever. Like they'd go away and look it up, even if they didn't know what it was. And if you go back and survey those people again, they'll probably have stronger opinions on it because you've placed that idea in people's minds. It's a real admission that what they're doing is one, creating all of this whole cloth, and two, that by studying it, they are simply engaging like an agitation of a group of people. I'd be fascinated as the actual nuts and bolts of how this in-depth multi-year study took place, because all it sounds like some borderline MK Ultra shit.
There even a link to the study?
I don't think there even is. I've been wondering that, but I don't think there is one.
Adults age 16 plus, there's another little bit of neuro-linguistic programming for you there.
Adults age 16 plus, eh? 16-year-olds are adults. Curious. I think that's all we have to cover, though. Is there anything we need to cap off with? I think we've covered all the links that we had.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else really worth going over. I would hope that people can see and hopefully understand more of what we were trying to put across in the Yeah, exactly. People understand how it's a distraction or a smoke screen and how it's not the real issues.
Yes. It's you need to engage with what's being like that article there is a great example of the language is there. You just need to see it. They will sometimes say the quiet part loud. Couple more donations here, a couple more from Glowy. He says, without my FBI crime statistics, how will I argue my politics? And our one that says purity spirals are the make or break of a movement. If it can't remain pure, it dissolves. What's this last bit? I also think of purity spirals as an attempt to increase density in ideology. If done properly, you get critical mass. Yes. That is a good point. But no, I thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for donating. It will all go towards the Send Evelyn to the Mises Institute Fund. I will quickly post that again. The link is in the description, but I'll cap end off with a little bit more shilling. Is there anything else you have to shill, Evelyn, before we depart?
No, just I don't know. Instead of spending your weekend online arguing with people, I don't know, like read a book, have a couple of whiskeys and a cigar, laugh about the fact that you don't have a crypto portfolio that's worth a tenth of what it was worth 6 months ago.
Yep, have fun with your hodl retards and good night.